You're listening to a podcast from 702.
We've been inundated with so much information. There is no doubt, we've said this before, that we're going through an unprecedented time. And when you look at, you know, the start of a new year, the ending up of a new year from 2020 to 2021, the reality is that chaos and crisis don't follow a calendar. And the underlying problems or the challenges that made 2020 feel like the horror story that it was will roll into this new year. And it's only natural, you know, to want to kick the things that came with 2020 to the curb and start afresh in this new year. We make resolutions. Yesterday we heard a new term, intentions. But ultimately, it doesn't mean that it's a clean slate. So how do you ensure that with the barrage of information, with the barrage of high emotions, intense emotions, the barrage of stress that you have endured, that you find ways to refuel your mind, your body, and your soul? Maybe there's something that you have incorporated into your habits. I'd love to hear from you about how you have started to maybe make moments where you slow down, where you refuel, where you, things that you now do to make sure that you refuel your mind, your body, and your soul. So do give us a call. And guiding us through this conversation is Ruth Ensor, and she is a clinical psychologist. But give us a call on 011-883-0702-31702 for your SMSs, your WhatsApps, and voice notes on 072-702-1702. Ruth, thank you so much for chatting to us today. Hi.
Hi, no problem. Lovely to chat to you.
When we think of the scale of what we've had to take in and process, how would you describe that, especially from a psychological perspective? Has it been a deluge?
It's been, yeah, incredibly overwhelming. And one thing, you know, that really resonated in terms of what you said, that normally we look forward to a new year, feeling that, you know, we can put the year behind us. And one thing I noticed, especially in with a lot of the clients that I see, is that so many of them spoke about, I can't wait for next year. I can't wait for this year to be behind us. And one of the things that was important to kind of bring up and do it gently, but, you know, that it's not going to magically change. As you said, pandemics don't work and crises don't work according to a calendar.
Mm.
That we were going to go into 2021 with the same kind of, and in fact, it's been even worse, pressures and anxieties and, you know, our numbers are so incredibly high. And I think that was a big disappointment for a lot of people because they were counting on, okay, two more months to this terrible year. And I think that, you know, is going to affect a lot of the way that we're starting the year because most of us are not starting the year excited that it's a new year.
So true.
It's more kind of how long can this crisis continue? So the need to refuel and to kind of find ways of building your resilience becomes even more important.
Yes, especially with where we are in the game, because the relief is not in sight. It's not yet in sight. And the reality is that we've also started to work differently. So lots of people are working from home. That's set to continue. It's a trend for the foreseeable future. There are reports of us working even longer and harder than we did when we were going to the office. Children, death, there's grief, there's fear and anxiety around a disease. And I tend to see people also say, I just want a return to a bit of the normalcy. And that always suggests that they need a relief to get away from this present reality.
And it is so difficult because, you know, we were saying last year, I remember saying at the beginning of the lockdown and pandemic is what was so frightening is we don't know how long it would last. And even in my mind, I was thinking people think it will be the 5 weeks and then people think it will be, you know, 3 months, but it will actually be like till September. Like even in my mind, it was very hard to conceptualize that actually we don't know. And now they are talking about vaccines and rollouts, but these aren't quick processes. And so to hold on to when things go back to normal, I'm not sure if things will ever go back to exactly how they were before. But you know, to not be in a state of crisis. Obviously, in time, things will, this pandemic won't be, you know, headline news as we get the vaccination and as it becomes just one of the things that people might get, but not to the extent that it's pervading our lives and has changed our lives so much.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously by then we will have, you know, we'll know more about it in terms of research and treatment. But I think for now it is, you know, everybody, or it seems to be, everybody seems to be affected in one way or yeah. another. Even if they haven't been infected or had close family members, you know, just in terms of the changes, not seeing people physically and, you know, for a lot of people, for some people, working from home has really worked. For a lot of people, it's become very stressful because they're in the same environment and there's no escape. And often, families and relationships do better when you don't see each other all the time.
Yes.
So, you know, so we there are a lot of dynamics and a lot of things that feel out of our control. And that makes it really difficult because some of the ways that we would learn, that we would use normally to cope, kind of have changed and keep changing.
Mm.
You know, the curfew and in terms of what's open and what's not open, and also this constant thinking of, am I safe? Will my family be safe? And then the fear we feel when we see other people acting as if there's nothing, you know, that nothing's changed and they're still going, you know, getting on planes even if family members have tested positive for COVID. So there are lots of heightened emotions about everything. And I'm just talking about the pandemic. I haven't even started about all the other, you know, all the other upsets and changes in the world.
Yes.
So it really is a time that if we're not careful and we don't look after ourselves, then it's hard to look after the people that we also have to, you know, that we are bringing up and that depend on us.
Mm. So how do we start to look after ourselves? For instance, I'm no longer on Instagram and Twitter, except for Twitter at work, no longer on Facebook, for instance, because just cut them out for a moment, because sometimes you need a reprieve from all the data, all the information that's coming your way. So yes. How do we start to protect our energy, protect our peace of mind, just guard what we come across?
Well, it's very important to be self-reflective and to look at what is making your stress levels even higher. And I do think that the bombardment of social media and the news can make you incredibly overwhelmed, and it gets to a point where you can't take anymore. So you have to find a balance because, you know, it's also important for people to feel that they're not knowing what's going on in the world, but it needs to be in a way that feels manageable and balanced. And taking kind of breaks from social media and from your phone and from the constant demands on us is so important. It's sometimes difficult to do, and it gets more difficult, you know, as most of us start working. But to find ways, even if it's just one day a week or, you know, 2 hours at night. So looking at what can work within your own reality and saying, how do I control better the things that make my anxiety worse, make me feel like there's too much going on in my head, and how do I, you know, in a manageable and ongoing way, limit those things, but not, you know, cutting yourself off completely from reality that you have no idea what's going on, although I know some people choose to do that because it helps them cope.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, for me, what's so difficult sometimes is when I want to cut down, I also want to know what's going on. So it's about finding that balance. And it's so easy. I find myself fighting with people on Facebook because they have views that I find intolerable, but there are millions of people with views that are different to mine, and I sometimes have to stop myself and say, I don't need to engage with this, it's just making me upset.
Mm.
And I have to remind myself and pull away, because it's so easy, and people are so mean on social media.
Mm.
People, they can be so cruel and so angry, and you have to keep remembering that there's a choice. There's a choice in how you engage, and you can limit it, and you should limit it. And to think about things that actually help you feel that you can be, just take, you know, escape reality for even if it's a few minutes a day. Whether that's, you know, for some people it's meditating, for some people it's exercising, and that's a really good thing because that's incredibly good for your mental health. For some people it's speaking on the phone to someone that they love or someone that makes them laugh. It's finding things that for you, you know, even if it's 5 minutes a day, but things that for you that can make you kind of just remember who you are and what you like. Because otherwise we get so caught up that we actually don't feel this. We're so depleted by the constant information and the constant demands.
And what's the risk of that, of literally running ourselves into the reserve tank?
Well, we can burn out and then we become, you know, in terms of suffering depression, suffering from anxiety, feeling like you can't see that you can get through another day. So, you know, our mental health is so important to look out for at times like this. And it's very linked to our physical health. And it's very difficult if you're not feeling well physically to feel okay mentally. And it's very difficult if you're not feeling okay mentally and emotionally to feel okay physically. They're so linked. But we are in danger at times like this of slipping into feelings of hopelessness and helplessness. And that's what's also really important, that if you notice that you're not coping and things are making it really hard for you to work or to parent or to be in your relationship, that to look at what resources are there. There are counselors, and there's been a lot of community kind of facilities that are offering counseling, even if you can't afford private, in terms of speaking to people when things get overwhelming. Because sometimes you need a release, and you also need someone to kind of tell you whether it's normal and if it's not, and if you're getting into trouble kind of emotionally, what you can do and what help you can get. So I think it's so important that we become very self-aware and monitor ourselves and just look after ourselves as if we're something, well, we are something precious that needs to be nurtured and needs time out.
Instead of thinking that you can weather everything, you know, that you can endure everything. And I think there has been that sort of attitude to say that, you know, you should be you're strong, so endure to prove that you are strong. And meanwhile, it's important to guard. That's why I always speak up against this whole superwoman notion, you know, that had been so popularized and had become so broadly accepted. And I always said it's dangerous because to be that strong is practically not possible in the long term. So let's invite calls, Ruth. And my guest is clinical psychologist Ruth Anser. And we're talking about the importance of refueling your mind, your body, and your soul. Maybe you haven't quite started to do that, but you feel the edginess, you feel the need to almost, as we were saying or describing earlier on, you know, reduce the stress in your life that you're exposed to. And that would mean, of course, adjusting your mindset and incorporating some of the things that Ruth had mentioned earlier on. So we'll take your calls if you are in need, but also if you've made that transition, if you've added new habits, you've adopted new things that have helped to ease that pressure, do let us know. What is it that you do? Maybe you've become quite strict about your morning routine or your end of day routine, or adopted something brand new. Share with us on 011-883-0702. What are you leaning on? What do you rely on right now? And the voice notes and WhatsApps on 0727021702.
Good afternoon, Azania. For me, I try by all means keep exercising at least 3 times a week, complemented with eating right. Try to keep updated with what's going on in the world, but minimize the news intake so that I stay more positive. Definitely sleeping well and sort of keeping in touch with distant friends, the people that I don't see every day. I try by all means to keep that relationship healthy. Yes, and when you exercise, something psychologically sort of informs you that you're doing something good. So it's life is worth living for, with the best of intention. So that also works out for me. I sort of wake up positive, looking forward to something every day.
Oh, that's lovely. Tahlego, thank you so much. And literally back to what you were saying, Ruth.
Absolutely. I mean, that is just an example of someone who has been able to say, what do I need to do? And has been able to do it. And that's fantastic and so important. And keep it up. But I think something you were saying before in terms of the superwoman thing, we've got to realize that strength is being able to be vulnerable. And it's about acknowledging that we don't have to be super people. We just have to be people. And also prioritizing, because we can't do everything. And we can't do everything. We can't give all our energy to everywhere. So it's about working out what needs, what is urgent, and what is needing our energy at this time, and just acknowledging that we don't have to be perfect. Mm. You know, we just have to kind of be aware of what needs to be done and how we can do that in a way that doesn't damage us. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we have to acknowledge, and also this time of grief and loss, you know, we have to be able to acknowledge what we're scared of and acknowledge what we've lost, whether it's through death or just whether it's through the changes, and be able to be sad about that. And that's normal. But I think there's so much pressure to be okay and to be strong. I don't think we understand that strength is about just being able to be how we are and survive with it.
Right. And here's another comment.
Your mental health is extremely important because it can manifest through your body. Proof of this is that if you are overwhelmed by sadness or by joy, that mental state can actually impact and manifest through your body by producing tears. That's proof that how important your mental health is for your physical health.
Yeah, absolutely. And protecting it and adopting mindsets that can get you through. Ruth, thank you so much. We've got to take a break in headlines. It's been wonderful chatting to you.
You too, and take care.
Thank you. That is Ruth Enser, clinical psychologist. Yes, it may be January. We may be thinking that we should be at the start, you know, just lifting off. But sometimes it's not always the experience. It seems like we're feeling, some of us are feeling more tired than we had would have hoped for, considering the time of year. And that's simply because there is a lot going on, and we need to find ways to cope with it, and in the healthiest possible ways.